Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and on this podcast, we talk about FSHD as it affects our community, the people with the disease, caregivers, family members, and so on. This podcast is about those people. Yeah, we touch on the science, might have a researcher in here or someone talking about hopefully a treatment or a cure coming, but that's not what we lead with. We're leading with the people. That's what this podcast is about. And it is brought to you by the FSHD Society. Visit fshdsociety.org. You can also email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. We've had amazing responses through that email. However, the inbox is a little empty right now, so I'd love to hear from you. If there are a topic you'd like to cover, a story you'd like to share, maybe you'd be so bold to be a guest on the show, a featured guest on the show. We'd love to have you. Please email me. Let me know what you think. Share your FSHD story with me. Love to have you on an episode in the future. This episode is with Rob Stemple. He is an FSHD patient, person with FSHD. He's also blind. He was in an accident with a drunk driver. He'll describe that accident and how that changed his life. He'll talk about working through FSHD. And as he got older, there were certain triggers that started to make the disease worse as it continues to downfall. He's a musician and has been, I think he said, since 13 years old as a professional. That's amazing. And you'll see and hear how much he loves to share his story. He is a great storyteller. Rob has a ton of energy, positive energy. You can find his YouTube channel at Rob Stemple through YouTube. He plays music on there if you want to check that out. He also writes articles on muscular dystrophy news. If you just Google that, you'll find a lot of his articles on there. He's been doing that for quite a while. And just so many great things that he has to share with us in the community. Once again, kind of seems like we have this theme of people still, you know, they have the disease, and in Rob's case, also blind, and still finds a way to get involved, to get engaged, to continue to do what he loves, the gifts that he has. He describes how music is just in his head, how someone can ask, hey, do you know this song? He can just play it. That is incredible. And the fact he still can. Now, we've had musicians on in the past, and they all are just as miraculous, in my opinion, of how they can play. Now, I'm always loving to talk to musicians, I've said in the past, because it's something I can't do. And I really admire those that can play music and write songs. And Rob does those things. So you can check him out on the YouTube channel, and we talk about those things. So hopefully you enjoy this episode with our featured guest, Rob Stemple. Thanks for watching and listening. FSHD Society Radio. Oh, correction. FSHD Straight Talk. So today's episode, we have our featured guest is Rob Stemple from the Pennsylvania area. Is that right, Rob? Is that where you're out?
That's correct. I'm in Pittsburgh now. Yep.
Oh, Pittsburgh. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, you know, I'm a Steeler fan. Rob, are you into football?
They're all over the country, and yeah. But my wife and I are Steel fans.
Love it.
Don't pay quite as much attention to the Pirates and the Penguins, but we love football season and follow them year-round for sure. Mm-hmm.
So Rob has FSHD also, as some if are watching and not listening in, so those that are just listening to the podcast version, also has no sight. So it's a double kind of storyline. How do they all come together? I guess that's where I want to kind of start, Rob. I know, you know, FSHD stories, we love to share those, and then the other facets of your life.
Well, you know, FSHD doesn't guarantee that nothing else is going to happen.
Right.
Everybody I talk to in the FSHD community usually has something else going on. So I was diagnosed with FSHD when I was 14, which is a long time ago. And at that point in time, I mean, I couldn't raise my arms, and didn't have a lot of other limitations, and as a high school kid, I college and even early years getting married, I didn't pay much attention to the muscular dystrophy. I mean, my family knew I had it. Some close friends knew I had it, but I really didn't advertise it all that much. I went to college, got a degree in special education, taught high school for 8 years. And 1989, just finished our school year, put a new roof on my house in Shanksville, where I had lived prior to moving to Pittsburgh. We actually lived there for 42 years, so it was a big move to Pittsburgh. And at any rate, though, we put a new roof on my house with some teacher friends of mine. I was part of a crew that painted houses and did a little roofing and whatnot over the summer. Mm-hmm. And I also played in bands. So I left Friday, played with a group on Friday night. We played Saturday afternoon at a festival, Saturday evening wedding, and a 50th wedding anniversary party on Sunday afternoon. Unfortunately, that's when kind of things changed drastically. But 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, the party's over. I get my pay from the guys, and the guy that had the party gave an extra 20 and said buy the band a round of drinks. That's one drink that I wish I'd stuck around for. We were heading out on vacation the next morning with our kids, and I just wanted to get home, get packed and all that stuff. So I skipped the drink, and I never drank when I played anyways, but that's not my thing. But anyways, I threw my stuff in my car and headed home, going down a two-lane highway, 55 miles an hour, when a lady coming the other way lost control of her car, went off the road, swerved back on the road, and swerved into my lane, and we hit head-on. I was driving a little Chevy Sprint at the time, which is a pretty small three-cylinder car that actually Suzuki made. Chevy sold it, though. So not a whole lot of protection in a head-on collision, though. I lost my sight, had skull fractures, broken neck, broken ribs, broken legs, crushed knees, all kinds of injuries. So anyways, that was life-changing for me. Never did get back to teaching. Spent about a year in rehab, and very, very happy to actually still be alive and have been around to see my kids grow up and my grandkids growing up a little bit too. Time of my accident, my kids were 1, 3, and 5, and they are now 36, 37, and 39, I believe, somewhere around there. But at any rate, I'm just very happy that I was able to survive, and my brain was pretty much intact. That was in doubt for a good while. But anyways, got recovered, did some music stuff for a few years, making personalized recordings for kids. Got started with an organization at Somerset and ran that for about 15 years that served people who are blind and vision impaired. And right around 2015, our organization became part of Pittsburgh Vision Services. And at that point in time, my muscular dystrophy was really, really starting to have a major impact on me. Walking became very difficult, very unstable on my feet, and tired out very quickly. So any distances were challenging. Starting to use a wheelchair part of the time, but I just kind of thought with the transition for our organization, that was a good time to retire out. So since then, I've played a lot of music at nursing homes. I've done that actually for like 30 years or so. And I spent a lot of time doing that. At the time, I was also writing a column for the local paper in Somerset, PA, our county seat back in the sticks in Shanksville. Mm-hmm. And just kind of kept that going until the pandemic hit. Everybody's life's changed with the pandemic. Yeah. Got through all of that, and somewhere around 2022, my wife, who had been in the newspaper industry for about 35 years, got her job eliminated, as a lot of other people in the newspaper industry. She was close to retirement age, and that's when we decided to move to Pittsburgh to be close to our kids. But boy, Tim, the last decade with the FSHD has been a real challenge. It's kind of like a snowball, if you will. My progression was pretty gradual, but something triggered. So I said about age 50, 56 or thereabouts. And boy, since then, it's just been a downhill slide. So we were talking a little earlier about, you know, some daily activities and things like that. And, you know, all the little things that you take for granted, I really can't take any of that stuff for granted at this point in time. So when I'm out of the house, I'm usually in a wheelchair, still staggering around the house, doing what I like to call my Sherlock Holmes walk. And if you think about Sherlock studying footprints in the sand, that's pretty much me when I'm getting around the house. And I'm leaning for dear life on door frames, countertops, kitchen counters, anything I can kind of get a hold of to stabilize. I do have a walker, and I'm starting to transition to the walker for around the house. But I need to get a little bit of help with trying to orient a little better so I can do a little less damage to the walls and furniture, everything else that you can run into with a walker when you can't see where you're going. So anyways, that's my status. Since we moved to Pittsburgh, I have started playing again with some nursing homes and whatnot. And I enjoy the music stuff. I do a little bit of home recording and just enjoy the music sort of thing. But everything is just getting to be much more of a struggle. So a lot of times I have ideas, I have things I want to do, but I usually run out of energy way before I run out of time and ideas. So you know, that FSH challenge seems to be getting more challenging every day.
Yeah, you said that you stopped teaching. What did you teach? Did you teach music?
No, actually, a lot of people ask me that. They know I played professionally for a long, long time, but I actually was a high school special education teacher. I had done a little volunteer work in high school at a special school for kids with special needs, and really kind of fell in love with that. I started college as an engineering major. That was my dad's idea of something I should do. After a couple of years of that, I transitioned to special education. Met my wife when I transferred to a school that had a really good special education program. And we got married not about a year after we got out of college. Got teaching jobs and, had our kids. And, life was pretty good in the 80s. Of course, that gives people an idea how long I have been fighting this FSHD fight. I was actually diagnosed in about 1972. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been battling it. Now, I can agree with you, though, about the 80s were good. I mean, I grew up in the 80s myself, and I was born in 75. So, 10 years old at 85, man, 1985, that was prime time fun. So I get it.
Youngster. Yeah, I graduated high school in 75.
That was not the purpose of why I said that, but yes, but I agree with you. The 80s were phenomenal time. But yeah, I get it too. The FSHD, you talked about, you said like the term triggered, like around like in your 50s, or you even kind of almost pinpointed like around 56, you said, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So what do you mean by that, like that word trigger?
Well, I had a really slow progression over the years. I would, kind of plateau for a while, mm-hmm. and then, get a little bit of a episode or incident, maybe, do a little more than I should do. As I said, part of my teaching career included summers off painting houses and roofing and whatnot. So I was probably using muscles in a way that the muscular dystrophy really didn't like. So, but I could generally recover, and figure out how to do things a little bit differently. And just, it was very slow. I'd go, a number of years, then I would notice some changes, but it was really slow and gradual progression. But so I said somewhere around 2015, man, I'll tell you what, it's just very suddenly a lot of things got much, much harder. Started having a lot of problems with my lower back. I thought it might be related to damage from my car accident. I actually ended up having back surgery. And after the back surgery, which was mainly to hopefully get me back walking better, because at that point in time, literally after, you know, after 40, 50 feet, I was starting to struggle pretty badly. But realized after the back surgery and attempts at rehabbing after the surgery that the back problem might have been a minor contributor, but the major factor was the muscular dystrophy. Yeah, my muscles in my lower back, hip, all those, you know, muscles that had really never been impacted too much by the muscular dystrophy were all of a sudden just, well, seemed like all of a sudden, but they just weren't working well, causing a lot of pain when I'm trying to walk. And that was that point in time that I started to lean forward a little bit. And one of the things when you're a blind person, they teach you mobility with a walking cane. It's a long white cane that you hold out in front of you and kind of wave back and forth. There's a technique to it. But one of the things you really have to do is you got to stand up straight, because you can't really bend over this stick that you're waving in front of you. So anyways, you know, I've been able to walk straight up and down for a lot of years, and all of a sudden, you know, I just get this urge as I'm walking, just I need to hunch over, because, you know, just at any rate, you know, that was kind of like, oh, this is not good fun. This is getting pretty serious. So that point in time, I had to really kind of try to alter my lifestyle. And but that's what I said, that's when I retired from the agency I'd founded and worked for 20 years. So, but you know, everything transitions. Life is full of those kind of transitions. And one of the things, when we moved to Pittsburgh, I had been writing for the local newspaper in Somerset for a long time, but a little calculating here, 15 years, I guess. I wrote a weekly column called At Your Service. I just loved answering people's questions. I, you know, as an agency person, I answered phone calls and talked to tons of people who had questions, mostly about vision impairment, but same questions over and over. So the concept was I would try to answer a lot of those kind of questions in the newspaper, and people could write in and ask questions. I'd write them. So when we moved to Pittsburgh, I was, you know, no longer doing that. And an amazing opportunity presented itself. I'm a longtime subscriber of the Muscular Dystrophy News, which is a publication of Bio News. They have, I believe it's like 63 different publications on muscular dystrophy, on even different types of dystrophy. I know SMA and Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's, just a whole ton of rare diseases that they have publications on. They're all electronic publications. But there was an advertisement in an issue of that saying they were looking for a writer for Muscular Dystrophy News. So in March of 23, you know, we moved here at the end of 2022, I started writing for Bio News. And it was a different aspect. They weren't asking me to be a medical expert in muscular dystrophy. So I'm not doing research and trying to answer people's questions on treatments, on research, all that sort of thing. It was more, we'd like you to share your personal experience with muscular dystrophy. And I have to say that's been quite cathartic for me. I love that word, cathartic, but it's been an interesting thing to share that aspect of my life. And in my first column was talking about coming out. As I said, for many, many years, I mean, some people knew I had muscular dystrophy, but really not many. But at some point in time, when I started using a chair and walking really funny. You know, I kind of had to confess, yeah, I got facial scapulohumeral muscular dystrophy, and it's kind of out of control. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I'm not doing the things I used to do. But yeah, one of the aspects of that has been just connecting to the FSHD community. And I just have loved the feedback I've gotten from the folks who read my columns and respond. And I try to stick those up on LinkedIn, usually on Facebook. I'm part of the FSH Friends Facebook group too, so I usually post them there. And just try to get the word out about that, you know, my column being out there as a resource.
Yeah.
And Renee Vicker, who I think everybody knows in the FSHD community, also is kind enough to share my column out to the wellness group. I was pleased a while back when I got a request from June Kunishita asking if they could post one of my columns on the FSHD website, which I thought was quite an honor. I've really appreciated that. So, but
anyways. You have quite a few columns on muscular dystrophy news. Maybe the most recent, like May, looks like 15th of this year.
I write twice a month. My due date, my deadlines are second and fourth Monday, and they usually run that later that week or the following week. So, yeah, it's interesting, and you know, at some point in time, I think I'm going to run out of tales to tell of my FSHD adventures. But somehow, in the next 2 weeks, another thing happens, and all of a sudden, I've got another story to tell. So,
yeah, what like in your daily routines and whatnot, does something come across in your mind as a situation you go, oh, that's going to be a good article or that's going to be a good column?
100%. I'll tell you what, Tim, this past week, my wife Wendy and I decided, after we don't even know how many years, that it's time to buy a new mattress. And it's a simple thing. You think, what's the big deal? You know, you go, you're down on a mattress, you like the way it feels. You buy it, you know, they deliver it and you set it up. But you know, with muscular dystrophy, it's just not that simple. As I said, my progression has really been accelerated over the last couple of years. I struggle from a laying down position in bed to sit up on the side of the bed. And low chairs, anything below about 18 inches, I can get up, but it's a real struggle. So, you know, those kinds of things, rolling over in bed is getting to be a challenge. Trying to get adjusted to get everything in the right position, because you know, with muscular dystrophy, usually the shoulder I'm laying on, I'm a side sleeper, but you know, that shoulder usually after a couple of hours of sleep wakes me up and says roll over. But that's getting harder to do. So all those things, you know, had to be a factor in buying a new mattress. So, you know, we're looking around at frames. How high is it going to be? How low is it going to be? Is it going to have enough side support? Because some mattresses we were on, I felt like when I sat up, I was on a sliding board, you know, just trying to eject me from bed, but not in a way I want to get ejected from bed. But, you know, so it had to be solid enough on the side to give me something to push off of, but you know, soft enough to sleep on comfortably. It's just a ton of different things to think about that I don't think other folks necessarily need to consider. I mean, how many people need to think about, am I going to be able to sit up in this bed or not? So forward thinking, Tim, our new bed is going to be on an adjustable frame. So
The
time comes, and I hope it's not soon, but when the time comes, you know, I can get the bed to help me get up into a sitting position.
That's smart. Hopefully
turned and get stood up. But but that's going to be a column coming up here in the future, just because, it's just one of those many adventures we have with FSHD.
Right. Yeah. I think that people don't quite understand, and not that I'm expecting them to, but then when I do describe, you know, like you said, getting out of bed, I don't have those kind of issues yet either. But over the weekend, just this last weekend, we were on a little baseball trip with my kids here, and I don't know how it happened. I really don't, but I guess somehow I drew the short straw, Rob, and I ended up sleeping on an air mattress near the floor.
No.
I basically rolled myself off, you know, like a hot dog on one of those turnstiles, you know, boop, onto the floor. Cause then I could get in almost like a plank position, get my hands underneath me, and then tripod myself up. Oh my gosh. I thought, what is going on? Why is this so hard? And my wife is like, do you need help? Nope. I'm like, let me figure this one out. But
sure. Yep.
Like most people, right there. Yeah. They might struggle a little bit cause it is low to the ground, and that's reasonable. But it gets to a point where this isn't reasonable. Like this is more difficult than it should be.
100%. And I tell you what, that's one of those things with those progressions. You know, I used to be able to do sit-ups, no problem.
Yeah.
I couldn't do a sit-up. And then it became difficult to get in a sitting position, even like cheating and using my arms and legs and, you know, doing lots of gyrations. And you mentioned getting into that tripod position. That doesn't work for me anymore either. I have a technique, you know. If I can get to a stairwell, I can either get down, my feet down a couple steps,
okay,
and stand up, and then I can turn around, and I do have stairlifts on my chair, on my stairs, which is a good thing, but I can get up a couple of steps with a lot of struggle. And if I'm at the bottom of a stairwell, I just crawl up a couple of steps, and then I can get myself to a standing position. But when you get to those points of your life where you have to think about, if I get on the floor, how am I going to get off the floor?
Might get off the floor, right?
Will I get off the floor? Yeah. So
yeah, will.
Going to be time to call 911 and say, "Hey guys, can you come over and stand me up?" I hope not.
When it comes to that, oh man. I know.
Those are the basic just get over to like a footstool or a chair, and you kind of use that a little bit to get, you know, use your arms of it to help you get up. But, you know, that just became non-functional too. So we're doing what we can to make accommodations. And Wendy, my wife, is very understandable and supporting. When we were looking at the height of a bed, you know, she's a good bit shorter than I am. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking for a bed that's fairly high up so that, you know, I can get into a standing position, which is a lot easier from, say, 30 inches than it is from 15 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want the bed so high that Wendy was going to have to, like, use a footstool or take a flying leap and jump in. So we had to meet in the middle or somewhere, but she was pretty much saying, just get it the way it's going to work for you. And she said she'll make it work. So I love the family support I've got. We live with one of my children who we have a lot of families whose kids are moving back home.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, for looking for family support, ours is the other way around.
Yeah.
My daughter Jill lives with us, and she is a major help to us. We bought our house together with Jill when we moved to Pittsburgh. She's got her apartment downstairs. She works from home most of the time. But if I get in trouble upstairs, you know, she's just a text or a shout down the stairwell away. And she's perfect. She's coming up to help out. So
nice.
And I love the family support I've got, and appreciate that a lot. I feel really bad for folks who do not have that kind of family support, because it's tough. I mean, what Wendy and do for me every day is a lot. So, you know,
it is a strain on the families too. I think a little bit of the forgotten element of the forgotten people involved with FSHD is the support we get from our family, friends, and so forth, or caregivers that help us through these transitionals. They're right in there with us.
Oh, they sure are. Yeah. Tell you what, every time I have to ask Wendy to like rearrange things, I used to be able to, hold one arm and pop one arm up with the other arm and get up to the third shelf. And then it became, okay, I can do the top I can't do the top shelf in the kitchen anymore, but yeah. I can do the middle one and the bottom one. Now it's just the bottom shelf. So I'm holding on for dear life to the couple of things I can do around the house yet. I do empty the dishwasher, but I can only put the dishes away that go on the first shelf.
On the first shelf, yeah.
And all the essentials for me that I need, you know, whether it's a coffee cup, a plate, bowls, or whatever, they got to be on the first shelf, because if they're on second shelf, they might as well be on the moon. I'm not, you know, I'm not getting them. So, and
a good trying analogy.
Kitchen leaning on the kitchen counter helps, but when I'm using one arm to prop the other arm up, then I'm a lot less stable, because most of the time when I'm at the kitchen counter, I'm holding on with one hand while I'm doing something with the other hand. Yeah.
Now, you still are into music. You have a YouTube channel where you put music on there. It's entertaining. I do see you get some good positive comments back. What kind of music do you like to play?
You know what? It's interesting, Tim, because over the years, I played all kinds of music. I started playing professionally when I was 13. My dad was a guitar player, and he and I battled over the guitar from age 5 through age 8. And then I switched to the piano, mainly because my dad didn't play piano. And so every day practice lessons couldn't turn into actual lessons. But anyways, I took piano lessons for a few years, took a year of accordion lessons. When I was 13, I got a job playing professionally for a Polish polka band playing the accordion. So that was kind of cool. I love the money. Not so much the music, but I love the money. But 13, I was making some pretty decent money as a accordion player. But over the years, I played in rock groups. I played in, as I said, polka groups. Disco was big in the late 70s. I did a few years of that. Country was big in the early 80s. I did a few years of that. And the last few years, when I was prior to my accident in 89, mostly it was like wedding bands where you had to play everything. You know, you needed to play the latest dance stuff, or, you know, disco or country or whatever the bride wanted for the bridal dance, etc. So I could play a little bit of everything. And actually, if anybody goes to my YouTube channel, that's what you're going to see, is because what I end up playing now is songs that I just have enjoyed playing over the years, and mostly songs that I think people remember and hopefully enjoy listening to. So when I do my nursing home set, I'm playing a few country tunes. I'm playing a few rock tunes. I love to do things like twist and tell folks, hey, please twist in your seats. I don't want anybody trying to jump up and dance and fall down and break a hip or anything. Just stay, to go ahead and enjoy the music, but stay in your seats.
Yeah. Nice.
Anyways, yeah, I do a little bit of rock and roll stuff. And I love to do some of the stuff like the Carpenters and the Beatles and all that sort of thing. And some of the music I used to play in bands works well with just a piano. Others, not quite so much, but, you know, I try to adapt and adjust and just try to make sure whoever's listening, they're having a good time. So
how long does it take to, I guess, prep or get ready? If it's the YouTube music that you put on, you know, that set or that song you're going to do, does that take more effort than people realize?
No, it doesn't.
Thank you.
I have to say, Tim, I've been playing music literally for 51 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff, my brain, half of my brain, I think, is just this little music computer. Sunday before church, a gentleman was talking to me and said, do you remember Layla? I said, yeah. You know, yeah. Eric Clapton said, the slow version or the fast version? He said, the fast version. He said, yeah, I like that fast version. I really like that piano part at the end. And I said, you mean this? And I just,
you just played it. For him.
Richard said, wow, where'd that come from? I said, no clue, Richard. Somewhere in my dark recesses of my brain, it's just there. So the biggest challenge I have is words. The words were always a challenge for me. So I warn folks at nursing homes and whatnot, hey, if I get to the second verse and I'm doing la 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 la, apologies, but you know, I got the words, I got the notes, but the words, not so much. So, but I do what I can do, and I think, you know, that's one thing about nursing home audiences. They're very forgiving. They're just happy I'm there playing some music and you know, bringing a little bit of entertainment, joy. That's what I'm trying to do. I
Change
enjoy,
pace.
love playing music. And man, when the folks are having a good time, it just makes it all worthwhile. And I have to tell you, Tim, playing in our music in a nursing home, you know, I come home and I collapse.
No, I bet.
It's a good collapse, but even though the piano is down here low in front of me, it's still, you know, you're raising your arms and you know, going out to the left, to the right on the keyboard, you're using muscles that don't want to work anymore. And I usually come home, I get into my comfortable, broken down old recliner. It and I are in the same shape. I'm all broken down. So is it. Well, we're broken in the same places. And I just get everything supported. And, just, you know, usually after I just let everything rest for an hour thereabouts, I'm not back to normal, but I'm good. I'm, you know, good. If Wendy wants to do something, I'm usually okay. But
enough to recharge for a little more.
A little bit more. I used to do double headers. A lot of the places I play have multiple units. You know, they'll have a memory care unit over here, personal care over here, full nursing care over there. So I used to do quite a few of those back to back as a blind person. That would just save me transportation troubles. You know, I'd have somebody drop me off at 1 o'clock, play one side 1 to 3, almost sorry, 1 to 2, and then the other side 2 to 3, and then pick me back up at 3 o'clock. But I just had to come when I came to Pittsburgh. Tried that once or twice, and I unfortunately had to tell the folks, look, I'll come back. You give me 2 Thursdays, I'll play this side this week, I'll play that side next week. Because I really, if I do 2 of them back to back, I'm going to be miserable for the next 3 days. So,
oh man, yeah, the recovery time,
it's not worth it. No, I love what I do, but you know, I have to kind of try to take care of myself too. So I can go out and do it again, you know.
Right. Yeah. So you can continue to do it. You got to kind of conserve a little bit.
I hope that's what I'm hoping to preserve it a little bit anyways. But yeah, one of my recent columns was about physical therapy, and I've kind of drunk the Kool-Aid as far as that's concerned. I do have in my drawer back here, I've got some 2-pound weights and one of those TheraBand things. And over to my right is my exercise bike, and I have a whole bunch of exercises I'm supposed to do laying in bed. And so I struggle with that for probably the most part of a year, and finally said, okay, let's do some PT and get back on the exercise train. So that's one of the things I do recommend to folks. And I think most of the research backs up, you know, just trying to do some exercise, not overdo it, but do what you can and just try to hold on, keep those muscles moving as much as possible, because it's the alternative isn't good. So
exactly. I think some people have asked me when I do what you're talking about, either it's PT or things at home that I've been told to do a little help, or if I still have the energy to go to a gym style workout, you know, it's like I'm dealing with pain anyway, so I might as well do something. Right. I mean, it's
pretty much,
people are uncomfortable no matter what you do. So sometimes it's also good mentally to try to move your body and do whatever you can. Kind of stimulates other parts of the body, including the mind.
For a few years, I had really worked out a nice situation doing a little water therapy, just on my own. I'd actually done some water exercises, part of a PT program, but there was a PT place close to Shanksville, and they had a ride that would take me there a couple of days a week, jump in the pool, do an hour or so, because there's a lot of stuff you can do in the water that you can't do out of the water. But situations change. We moved to Pittsburgh, and there's probably someplace close by here that might be accessible to me, sort of, kind of. But at this point in time, I'll tell you what, just getting upstairs, downstairs, into a car, into a PT facility, getting into a swimsuit, doing the exercise, getting out of the swimsuit, taking a shower, getting dressed, doing it all in reverse. It just, you know, and all of that just feels just kind of way beyond what I can do at this point in time.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I'm
That's a
going to do
lot.
what I can here at home. And of course, being blind, that transportation thing is always a pain in the butt too. But
Yeah. A key.
it just the whole other thing. I mean, frankly, going in and getting undressed and getting redressed, I'm probably about done. Let's go home now, because
Yeah.
that's just moving around is just
It's a workout in itself.
pretty much. And I get out of bed early morning. I like to do early morning devotions and whatnot, and I make myself a cup of coffee. It takes some vitamins, and then I go sit down in my recliner. But what a lot of people don't think about is just getting out of bed, getting dressed, hitting the bathroom, getting to the kitchen, getting the coffee made, getting pills taken. I'm now ready to sit down. By this time,
Yeah.
my back's hurting. My right hip is saying it would like to sit down. And my legs are getting a little bit shaky. And, I got to go find a seat. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, even just daily activities, I don't think people realize how fatiguing all of that is. So,
And yeah, then that kind of leads to this next or probably last question for you, but because I asked this, we did the World FSHD, and I had a bunch of short interviews. And one of the main questions that I like to ask, and I guess I'd like to extend the same question to you, is people say FSHD is a rare disease. I don't really know how rare it is, but those that don't know about it, what do you want people to know or wish people would know more about FSHD?
I think that, as I said, I was a closet FSHD-er for a long time. I think those of us in the FSHD community should be a little more open. And I think doing it in a respectful way, I think other folks, once they find out somebody has FSHD, needs to ask some questions, because I really think there's a lot of miscalculation and misunderstanding out there. I know with me, a lot of times people think, literally, I'm faking it,
Oh my
and
gosh.
I can't even. It just boggles my mind. Why would you fake walking like this? Yeah, I just, but I just, I think people need to, as best they can, just have an open mind and try to put themselves in the shoes of that other person. And as I said, ask questions, because I think most folks with FSHD, not all of them, but I think most folks with FSHD are willing to share their stories, or at least answer some basic questions.
I
And
agree.
I think they just need to understand that it complicates our lives in multiple ways. It's not just one thing. It's at least at some point, everything. It affects how you walk, how you cook, how you eat, how you change your clothes, how you get out of bed, etc. It's
It's everything.
a disease that just keeps on giving.
Yeah,
Yeah, really, really rare. Yeah.
really rare. Exactly. That's what they keep telling us. I
Yeah.
don't know if I believe that. Well, thanks, Rob, for joining us. Folks, you can find Rob Stemple on YouTube if you want to enjoy some of his music there, as well as a lot of the articles that we were talking about. You can find those on is that M Muscular Dystrophy News? Is that right?
Yeah, if they just Google Muscular Dystrophy News, they're gonna find
They're
it.
gonna
Yeah.
find it. Yeah, excellent.
Yep. And all the columnists show us in there. Some of the other columnists are really great. So read their stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely. We will. We will. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for joining us. You take care.
You too. Thanks, Tim. Bye.
Bye-bye. That is Rob Stemple. He is a person that has unbelievable strength, right? And resilience to think that, as he put it, just because you have FSHD doesn't mean you're immune to something else happening to you. And the struggles, what endures through surgeries and the recovery of that, why you have muscular dystrophy, that's one of the scarier parts of this disease too, is you could have an accident or you need knee replacement surgery or those types of things. And you have to really put into account, how can I recover from a surgery, a massive injury, if you have to rest or you have to heal while your muscles are breaking down? To me, it would accelerate it. It's definitely a little more tricky. So the fact that he's able to maneuver through his day blind with FSHD and to have the attitude he does and still love what he does playing music is phenomenal. That is just incredible to me. I reached out to Rob, but I also have had a lot of guests that have reached out to me. You can do so at FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org. I also encourage you to support the FSHD Society. They support this podcast, FSHD Straight Talk, and appreciate that they do. I hope you were able to look at some of the, or listen to some of the past episodes on World FSHD Day. I kind of talked about that. That was a lot of fun to put that on. Fantastic event. The Walk and Roll is coming up in September. So those things, not sure how it's going to look from the radio side of things, but hopefully we'll have something for you to kind of, you know, earmark some of those special things happening and during the Walk and Roll during the September month. A lot of good things coming. So thanks again for joining us. Thanks for being part of the show. Don't forget to look at the shows and give us I guess it's a review, right? A positive review, and you know, give us the stars or whatever, wherever you get podcasts, however you can positively influence that, it would be greatly appreciated. Share it, follow it, whatever it's got to do. Let's start making this one of the top, if not the top podcast for FSHD community. I know there's others out there, no offense, but I'm kind of competitive. So thanks to listening to this episode. We will see you and on the next episode of FSHD Straight Talk.